Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Brack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards and listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. for me on The Freaks, and Bo 4 to 7, executive producer and co-host of The Drive from 4 to 7. We are working on MLK Day, man. This place is empty at iHeartRadio. I had to use my key card to get in because the front desk ladies aren't even here.
Yeah, man, it's...
It's good to get back. I feel like I've been gone forever. I feel like we've been gone forever. This weekend was extensive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff happened. A lot of great football games that happened that had nothing to do with the Arizona Cardinals directly. But Bo's going to give you a little piece of his mind. What, you know, this weekend kind of made the Cardinals look good and kind of gave them hope for the future, especially after the putrid first year of Josh Rosen. We're going to equate it to one of the quarterbacks that got a win this weekend, so narrow it down to
was
that.
Was it Tom Brady?
It wasn't Tom Brady.
Was it Patrick Mahomes?
It wasn't. And it wasn't... Oh.
Well, that leaves two more, and I don't think it's Drew Brees.
I said the one that got the win this weekend.
That's
so
right.
If it wasn't Tom Brady...
I need to do... Better, listen better.
Yeah. Do a better job listening. So the Cardinals have no offensive coordinator still, and we're kind of treading water. Hugh Jackson came in for an interview. This is where we were with the head coaching search last year, so at least it's a step forward from that.
The team did hire Tom Clements, as we had mentioned, with the he was with the Green Bay Packers forever. He's going to be their passing game coordinator, their quarterbacks coach. That's a great hire.
Anybody that's around Aaron Rodgers, I guess.
I'll be interested to see if that's just the move. I don't know. With Cliff Kingsbury being your primary play caller, are you going to hire an offensive coordinator? I don't know. They did bring in the Hugh Jackson.
Yeah.
They brought in Hugh Jackson, whose reputation precedes him.
It's awfully.
It's one of those things where it's just like, why? Why would you bring a guy into your organization
like
that?
Well, but he wasn't a bad coordinator. He was a bad head coach.
No, I understand that. I see that. But when you look at Hugh Jackson, the numbers just speak for themselves. He went 336-1 as head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and then he goes works in some sort of capacity for the Cincinnati Bengals.
We're already out of the playoff hunt. I mean,
they went 1-6 with him in their organization.
AJ Green was out. Andy Green was out.
42-1.
Everybody was out.
The last. It's crazy. The last 47 games that Hugh Jackson's been employed by an NFL franchise, he's only seen a W four times.
That's not good.
That's not good. It's just when you're looking when it's you're not going to die on that hill as an organization. The optics of that are so bad to bring in any capacity a guy like Hugh Jackson. I just think so. Coming off a 3-13 season,
There's
time and a place where you could take a swing for a guy like that and you can hire him and say, hey, yeah, you're right. He stunk as a head coach, but he's very valuable to franchises, whether it was with the Oakland Raiders or whether it was his time before when he was a coordinator for the Bengals when they were successful.
Making playoffs
every
year.
Arguably the most success that the Bengals franchises experienced.
Sustained success,
right. They didn't win any playoff games, but they got to the playoffs.
I mean, You want
creative, you want innovative, you want smart football minds.
No, but you want a quarterback guru as well, which is what he was called. And with Andy Dalton getting to the playoffs every year, in that tough division that's brought out three Super Bowl champions in the last 12 or 14 years, you know, it's more impressive than you would than maybe you're giving him credit for because of what's happened more recently. But you look at like Jim Schwartz, Romeo Crennel, Wade Phillips, guys that were awful as head coaches that are good at defensive, especially defensive coordinator. With Jim Schwartz just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and Wade Phillips is in a Super Bowl now. So I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing. It's a name. It's a stigma name that you could potentially buy low on.
Yeah, you could buy low.
Would you take him or John DeFilippo with what's happened from the coordinator position since they've last been coordinators?
I think that you could argue.
Just because DeFilippo is younger.
You could argue that Hugh Jackson has had more success.
As a coordinator,
As a coordinator, yes.
And nobody's going to want him.
Right.
So what if you can, and you know that he's not going to take over this head coaching position. So that checks almost all the boxes that you need for an offensive coordinator at this point.
I just think that your organization, your coaching staff just becomes a island of misfit toys.
Yeah.
At that point. You just took, you know, Vance Joseph, who I like to hire as a defensive coordinator. He was a failure in Denver as a head coach. I like the Tom Clements coming in more as your veteran Wade Phillips type hire because we are following that blueprint. That Sean McVay blueprint, And what Clements was able to accomplish with a young Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that would bode well for a guy like Josh Rosen, who's been down under watching the Australian Open during his...
Just a beast.
That's our first beat on what Josh Rosen's up to this offseason. And I like the idea of this guy coming in. Tom Clements, I would think an offensive coordinator position would be too much for him, especially with the innovative offenses that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And they were in full display this weekend.
Right. This is the groupthink that you have around, that you had around Carson Wentz and Nick Foles in Philly. You have two out of the three pillars. And that's why Hugh Jackson, and listen, when I saw it, I scoffed too. Like, I'm not.
Jared scoffed.
I didn't know if you were gonna. That's fine. Thank you. This is the punny time of funny.
Hey, it's the off season. It's been the off season for a long time around here.
Yeah, for about 14 weeks. So, with Hugh Jackson or somebody like that that has the ability to mold a young quarterback, it's not even about the play calling at that point. It's about the further advancement of Jared Goff, of Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bring in a guy like Hugh Jackson, people are going to be like, what are you doing? But just relax and think about it before making any sort of rash decisions.
When I see what's happened with the Cleveland Browns, when I see what's happened with the New York Jets and the coaching changes that they've made, I honestly feel bad for Sam Darnold. With crazy eyes in there. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't think that the Jets have done a very good job. I don't know how Adam Gase was given kind of the quarterback guru title when he wasn't able to do anything with Ryan Tannehill. He had a little success with a guy like Jay Cutler. And then, as we've mentioned so many times before, like Mike McCoy, Adam Gase experienced a lot of success with Peyton Manning. Who the hell has it?
Yeah, you know? Right.
But right. I don't like what's going on. But my point is, when I look at what the Cardinals have done this offseason, Josh Rosen, out of the five quarterbacks selected in the first round, has an opportunity to make the biggest jump. Now, he's starting at the bottom.
Right.
But with the hiring of Tom Clements and really making your head coach hire a specialist of sorts for the quarterback in Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, if Josh Rosen doesn't make a jump, then it's going to be a very telling sign that he might not be your guy going forward, despite having the luxury of a rookie-scale contract.
It's interesting because Alex Clancy, Bill Brock here. Are we going to be looking at this as wins or personal individual numbers for Josh Rosen regarding leaps? Because so say he throws for 43 or 4,400 yards. Okay, he has an above average season. Obviously, people are throwing for 5,000 yards, even though it's regress. So say 4,200 yards, and you know maybe 1.5 to 1 turnover, touchdown interception, but they only win 6 games. Or he throws for maybe only 3,200 yards and they win 7 or 8 games. Which one would be a moniker? Because, like, I mean, the defense could win you games. The running game could win you games. It would have nothing to do with him actually throwing the ball into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So is it wins or his individual numbers that would prove that he's taken more of a leap next season?
I would say because we saw Josh Rosen struggle in even the few wins that they got this season.
Even though there were comeback wins that he was responsible. Yeah, right.
There was one, and that was it. That was the 2018 shining the spotlight for Josh Rosen.
And against the second worst team in the NFL.
I think to answer your question is, unfortunately, it's personal. It's him putting together impressive games, looking at that touchdown to interception ratio, and kind of widening the margin. I mean, at least creating a margin. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a guy that threw more interceptions than touchdowns. That needs to change. When you look at the jump that Jared Goff made, I think that you have to kind of look at that. If you are going to continue to follow the McVay blueprint, Jared Goff is the guy that I think, just physically and just the intangibles and everything that Josh Rosen possesses and you think he can possess, it all points to him. Like, very high potential, if you project it out, he could be Jared Goff more so than any other quarterbacks that we saw in the postseason. And I think that there's a lot to kind of look at as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to let Bo expound more upon that. Last year, Jared Goff, his breakout year, they won the division.
Right.
But he had Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And a lot of the numbers that Jared Goff was finished with, Todd Gurley had 4, 5, or 6 50-plus yard touchdown catches. There was a lot of screen passing to the house stuff that Alex Smith padded his numbers with, where he didn't really do a lot of the work except for just dumping it off and letting a playmaker make plays. On the other side, we're going to discuss why Cliff Kingsbury and Josh Rosen got a boost from the fan base because of what happened yesterday in the Saints and Rams game regarding Jared Goff and Sean McVay. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we'll be right back. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on The Freaks, and Bo 4-7 on The Drive Mountain Time, Fox Sports 910 Phoenix. So Bo brought up an interesting thing, and it's true. I just hadn't thought of it that, it was a rousing review for how the Cardinals have positioned themselves moving forward with the success of Sean McVay and Jared Goff yesterday and through the playoffs. And take the pass interference call away, the game is over. We're looking at what's happening in the future. They're going to the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, and the Cardinals are the furthest thing from it. But the stencil is in place with an innovative play caller, which is, you know, the moniker for Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay.
That's what you think he is.
That's what you call him now. Projecting it. It's the excitement of the unknown. And Jared Goff went 0-7 his rookie year, came back and did a lot better next year, and this is Josh Rosen's turn to do that.
Yeah, Josh Rosen got more of a larger sample size than Jared Goff even did in his first season. Was that Jeff Fisher's problem? Was that because of Jeff Fisher and his, I don't know, his bad coaching? It's possible.
Steve Wilkes?
But we saw almost Rosen doubled Goff's production, or not production, but just playing time in his first season. He played 14 games. He goes 3-10 as a starter. He passes for 2,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Where if you look at Goff, he plays in the 7 games, as Alex mentioned. They pass for a similar percentage, right around 55%. Goff was over 1,000 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Basically just cut the production in half. Mm-hmm. And that's what Goff's rookie year looks like to Josh Rosen. So Rosen takes his lumps, right? And you would assume that with the ability that you think Cliff Kingsbury possesses, that he can put Josh Rosen in a position much like Sean McVay did Jared Goff's sophomore season, where he exploded for 3,800 yards, 28 touchdowns. That interception ratio goes from 28 touchdowns to 7 picks. Just an incredible season taking care of the ball. We all know that, you know, Jared Goff is sitting there and he's listening to his headset all the way up to the 15-second cutoff. He gets in the, you know, they use pretty much the entire play clock, and they get in there, and you see Jared Goff is even being coached in the game by his OC/head coach Sean McVay. Are we going to see a similar blueprint? I think so, but is it going to turn out to be we saw Andrew Whitworth come to the Rams last year. He helped solidify that offensive line. You talked about the defense. That was a defense that the Rams, they invested so much draft capital in that defense. Mm-hmm. And for years, you're like, oh, if they could just get any offense going, this is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Right.
And it happens to be so. It was a defense ready to just start performing. And then, as you mentioned, you know, they started surrounding him with some playmakers. Sammy Watkins comes over at the time. Brandon Cooks was the next season. Mm-hmm. You had Cooper Kupp emerge as a nice late-round draft pick out of Eastern Washington. A lot had to go right for this to happen. But to say that, you know, Josh Rhodes is going to be the next Jared Goff, I know that that's a stretch. But as far as the skill set's concerned, it's there. And if with the proper coaching and the proper moves made this offseason, I think it's very possible that he can make a jump. I don't think it's 28 touchdowns to 7 interceptions possible.
Right.
But could he be a guy that's going to throw in the mid-20s as far as touchdowns are concerned? Maybe, you know, hopefully under 15 interceptions? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm just looking for 20 completions in a game.
Yeah.
Bro. I mean, there's so many things that...
Well, the volume's going to be there.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's... I say a lot of things, and sometimes I'm wrong, and I admit things when I'm wrong, especially as glaringly, because I didn't want to believe what I'm about to say, and because I didn't think it would be this quick, because in this day and age, it's instant immediate satisfaction, or I don't like it. Immediate satisfaction, or I'm on to something else.
Right.
You got to be good right away in the NFL, and that was a quarterback.
Right.
And Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, you get 2 or 3 years. If by the third year you're not it, if by your rookie scale contract you're not it, this is even removed from Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota time from a couple years ago, where they're given their full contract to actually prove it. They still believe in Marcus Mariota because they don't have another way to go. Mm-hmm. And the same with Jameis Winston with BA going down there now. So Josh Rosen, if he doesn't take leaps this year, I would not be surprised if they try to if they look to move on.
Sure.
Because Pat, and listen, it seems obvious now because Jared Goff made the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes made the AFC Championship game, was, you know, a couple minutes away from winning it. And he is so far away from being on that level, Josh Rosen is.
I agree.
And we can be so, just ride his potential and his what's between his ears. But, man, if he doesn't perform next year, we got a real problem.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think that that's becoming more and more the norm where you're seeing that. I mean, Jacksonville, they had to pay Blake Bortles, right?
$18 million.
We've seen it even turn into extensions with guys like Ryan Tannehill, who got close to $100 million. What has Ryan Tannehill done? You know, just from an outsider's perspective of Jameis Winston and, as you mentioned, Marcus Mariota, it's like you don't want to get in that quarterback purgatory.
Because you don't want to start over again.
Right, and you have to figure out, yeah, within the first 4 years of the player's career, which is absurd, but it's the norm, you have to figure out if Josh Rosen's the guy.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it's going to be – hopefully last year was going to be the anomaly as far as his career is concerned, as far as his ineffectiveness as a quarterback.
Well, and look, I mean, look at what Philly and the Rams – and Tennessee gave up to move up for those picks.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the whole thing. So say, like, Philly and the Rams are good. You know mm-hmm. what? You gave away your future. Fantastic. You gave away your future. Fantastic. Tennessee, what the hell are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did get more picks by trading down, I believe,
yeah,
a couple years ago. But, I mean, it's not a good look.
No,
when you are in this purgatory,
it sets you back. You miss, especially at that position, it sets you back.
And then you have to stick with it because you can't. You're too proud to, like, man, we gave away our future for this guy, and he's not it.
Right.
And so, luckily for the Cardinals, they didn't give up that much to move up those couple spots to get to Rosen. But still, I mean, things have to move
on him. If you're banking on him being your franchise quarterback going forward, and he's not the guy, I mean, that's just going to be seasons of you middling around.
Right.
And it's going to be frustrating for a fan base, and it's going to be frustrating for all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, and luckily for the Cardinals, it's only year two, so they don't have to think about money right now regarding salary cap space for him if they want to extend him or not.
But if you're going
to
surround him with a team, like, I mean, the two teams you mentioned as far as Philly and L.A., is they invested heavily
in other
players.
But you front-load the contracts.
Right. But if, say, now you've got this team in place that's – you're just a quarterback away and you expect Rosen to be that guy and you invest in those other positions, then you're going to be sitting there without a quarterback. And it's like, oh, we need a quarterback. And now you don't have the funds to go out and get him. And then you're screwed that way. It's a catch 22.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. And man, you just realize how far away the Cardinals are when you see the AFC and NFC championship games. We'll be right back. Wrap it up here, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. So, Bo's, I mean, when I was watching the games last night, I just felt like, so after the Cardinals game, after the Patriots game was over, the first thing that I thought of, and this is, it's really obviously graded on a scale even more so, but I'm like, man, the Cardinals suck. I mean, I wasn't being flippant. It just fluidly came out of my mouth. Stream of consciousness, I was talking with a co-host of mine. I'm like, man, the Cardinals are bad.
Yeah, when you see just players, whether it's on the offense or the defensive line or the play, like the skill positions for each of those teams.
Every position, there's a star.
There were guys making plays.
Everywhere.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, those guys weren't stars until, you know.
Tom Brady.
They were put in the position. Yeah, either Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes were putting these guys in positions to make plays. Mm-hmm. Damian Williams. I mean, everybody thought that Spencer Ware was going to be Damian Williams a couple weeks ago, and then he, you know, Spencer Ware gets hurt, and Damian Williams becomes a monster.
They only gave him $8 million, too, for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. So Damian Williams is looking like a steal now, a guy that nobody knew about. I mean, just up and down New England's roster. I mean, you have – but that's the thing is the up front is so important, especially with the Chiefs and what they were able to do on defense, like – you know, Chris Jones and what they're trying to accomplish as far as getting after the quarterback and making things uncomfortable for Tom Brady. And Tom Brady getting the time or whether it's just him getting the ball out quick. I mean, it's just and getting it to his playmaker. We just didn't see Josh Rosen. We didn't see an offense that had Josh Rosen have the ability to get the ball to his playmakers. Right. What was it like? It almost seemed like for 9 straight weeks we were force feeding the ball to David Johnson and just not getting any result. Yeah. Oh, no, not even up the middle. It was like that one time that Byron Leftwich dialed up like 7 or 8 screen passes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was what David Johnson had 8 catches for like 12 yards at one point in one of the games. It was just, they were just trying to force feed it. And it just, there was no way to make a living offensively. That, you're right. I mean, we can talk about it and you can say, yeah, Josh Rosen can be the next Jared Goff and Cliff Kingsbury could be the next Sean McVay. And it's just like, yeah, those are some pipe dreams, right?
Yeah, this
and
is not.
And when we talk about that, that's the highest possible ceiling.
So far away, too.
It is. It is. And it's going to take, when you look at both of those games, when you look at New England and in Kansas City, and you look at New Orleans and L.A., and who, like, there were just guys making plays all over the field. And I honestly couldn't say that we saw that once from the Arizona Cardinals the entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to. The linebacking core, I mean, it's up and down the roster. They don't fulfill any of those needs right now. They are so far.
It was interesting. I was talking with my buddy, and I was saying, you know what? Well, at least when the Cardinals are good, Tom Brady and Drew Brees will be retired. You know, like when they have in a couple years, I'm like, well, S. Now Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz, it's going to start all over. So it's not like the Warriors dynasty in the NBA. Or when the Lakers and San Antonio fizzled, everybody's like, oh, we got a shot now. Or LeBron leaving the East.
Mm-hmm.
Their quarterback, everybody's eons ahead of the Cardinals again. With Patrick Mahomes, what he has done in the NFL in 2 years, everybody's like, oh, no, we're behind the curve. Immediately, they're behind the curve.
There's no Patrick Mahomes outside of the actual Patrick Mahomes to be had. You know? I mean, I just... The thing is, the Chiefs, people, there was question marks all over the place once they got rid of Alex Smith. They're like, yeah. you're gonna ride or die with Patrick Mahomes? And a lot of times, Andy Reid takes those risks, and it works out for him. Like, you remember when he traded Donovan McNabb to the Redskins? And he was like, yeah, we're going to go with Kevin Cobb. It ended up being Mike Vick that worked out for him. But
lucky for the Cardinals, they were able to sign Kevin Cobb after 3 starts.
There were playmakers all over that place. They were able to get rid of that contract. I mean, at least you can say, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, and in the Cardinals' defense, is they're following a blueprint that if it works out, which is a big if,
it can
pay off huge dividends. You can put yourself in a position to go out and acquire, draft those playmakers that you lack. You horribly lack.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I know.
It's a big if.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
It's gonna be so difficult to lure. We'll talk about this more as the week go on. The draft as it ramps up. We have a lot to talk about over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully, an offensive coordinator will be in place so we can start to just solidify the foundation of the coaching staff and move forward into free agency, trying to lure some players, probably having to overpay them.
I don't know if we're gonna see that OC. I think Tom Clements was the hire. He's just going to be your quarterback's coach.
I think that's a huge mistake. Right. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. August Clancy, Bo Brock, we'll check it out.